I am continuing a new series of sermons on walking with God. Today we remember that this is always a journey away from slavery. And nothing will make you a slave quite like your fears. Let us pray. Lord God, we ask that with the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, we would all find our own place on this holy and sacred journey from slavery to freedom. Use your own holy word now to speak to the particulars of our lives in ways that only your Spirit can do. For we ask it in the name of our liberating Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For the next 3 months, we will join the Hebrews on their 40-year journey through the wilderness to the Promised Land. Along the way, we'll discover that this is a journey from slavery to freedom. It's a journey from fear to trust, from despair to hope. It is also a journey that serves as the fundamental model in both the Old and the New Testaments for any of us who want to know what it means to walk with God. All of us are on this journey today, somewhere between leaving slavery and having not yet fully arrived at the promises of God. Some of us were once just enslaved to our anger or to hurt or guilt. Others were enslaved to work or money or the collection of achievements and trophies. Still others of us have been enslaved to alcoholism, victimization, promiscuity. But the Lord God will not settle for anything, be it your sins or the sins of others, that binds your heart and prevents you from being all that you were created to be. The liberating promise of the gospel is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that you too might in him rise to a whole new life. The resurrection throws open the door of the tomb in which you were enslaved, and it invites you to come out into the wonderful freedoms of change, healing, community, and vocation, and calling. This is what the Apostle Paul meant when he called us to leave behind the old creature and become a new creation in Christ. But you know, change that is this dramatic takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes growing. It takes maturity. It takes a journey. No one goes from being a runaway slave to suddenly just prancing their way into the Promised Land. No, you've got to spend time first in the wilderness. You've got to spend time on the journey where you learn how to walk as a woman or a man who is truly free. Because you can only enter the Promised Land as a free person. And it is out in the desert that you learn how to keep your freedom. Along the way on this journey, we question and we struggle to understand what God is doing to us. We wonder if we're lost. We wonder who we were kidding, thinking that we could ever be fully free of our past. Along the way, we fight some terrific giants. But mostly, along the way in the journey, we get very, very tired of how long this is taking. Everybody I know is in the wilderness. Mostly wants to know When will I get out? Some of us have just recently begun this journey to freedom. Others have been walking with God for a long time now. But the fact of the matter is that none of us have fully arrived, have we? That's why you're here today, to get some more insights for the next step on the journey. In the 13th chapter of Exodus, we're told that there were actually two ways that the Hebrews could have gone when they left Egypt, where they were enslaved, and made their way to the Promised Land. One way was to take the road called the Way of the Philistines. This was a highway that stretched right along the Mediterranean coast, right up to the place where they were headed. It was a heavily traveled trade route, where there was lots of water and rest areas and restaurants along the way. But the text tells us that God chose to take the people south, along the roundabout way of the wilderness, where there was no road, and no bridges, and no water, where all there was this expansive Red Sea, and on the other side of that, just a whole lot of lonely desert. Why does God always choose that path? Why does God always choose to lead us unto the roundabout way of the wilderness? Why doesn't He ever pick Easy Street? Because the purpose of this journey, purpose of your life, is to learn how to walk with God. And you're not going to learn that by taking the way of the Philistines. The Philistines will tell you that all you need is to get a law degree or a medical degree or an MBA. All that you need is to get married and have babies and get a house. The Philistines will offer you one heavily traveled road to success after another. But has any of that ever made you free? No. Because freedom is not found by getting to your dreams so quickly. Freedom is found from the inside out. And that means it's discovered on the hard road, where you lose all of your other dreams, where the only dream that's left is coming to know this God who's walking beside you. Freedom is found not by getting your life to the right place, but by learning to see the presence of God. Because whenever you see the presence of God, then you see that anything can happen now, and only then are you truly free. So wherever in the lonely desert you see God, well, that is the right place for you to be. Every freedom story has a beginning. This story begins with the Hebrews running away from Pharaoh. They don't get far, though, before they run slap into the shores of this great Red Sea. About that time, they look behind them, and they see Pharaoh and all of his chariots charging at them. So ahead of them, they have their first obstacle on the journey of faith. Behind them is the opportunity to return to slavery. And the Israelites, in great fear, cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it not because there were not enough graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Is this why you have brought us out of the land of Egypt? Is this not what we told you in Egypt, to let us alone, to let us serve the Egyptians?" In those verses, the Hebrews use the word Egypt five times. Egypt, 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 Egypt. They're not thinking about the promised land. They're not thinking about the journey. They're not thinking anything about freedom. All they're thinking about is what they used to know back in slavery. So let us be clear. When God parts the waters of the Red Sea to allow the Hebrews to just walk away from Pharaoh and slavery, it's not because he is so impressed by their faith. They don't have any faith. That's why he's taken them out into the wilderness, to learn that. At this point, all they have is fear, which the Bible always understands as the opposite of faith. Whenever people get afraid, they always seek to return to the old slavery that they know. They forget about the fact that Pharaoh was trying to kill them. It's just what they know. I've told you this before. It just amazes me, but people always seem to prefer the misery they know to the mystery that they do not. But not God. God will not tolerate your slavery. God will not settle for what you will. And he will insist on making you free, sometimes in spite of yourself. Recently, I had a wonderful conversation with a recovering alcoholic. And I mentioned to him that it must be wonderful now to be sober all the time. And he said, well, to tell you the truth, some of my worst fears of sobriety have come true. I'm not sober because I chose to be. I was too addicted to make such healthy choices. I'm only sober because God saved my life. There it is. That's my point. All of us, begin the journey to freedom, not because of our choices, but because of the gracious choices of God. We are too afraid to begin this journey. So it is God who, by his grace, intervenes into our life and pulls us into the process of finding freedom. You know, one day, you may just lose the job that you hate. One day, the money that's never made you happy, it may run out. One day, you may lose the beauty that was never quite beautiful enough for you. When you lose these things, it's like a severe grace in your life. You may think that it's the end of your life, but it is only the end of your slavery. Life can now finally begin for you. The danger in all that process is only your fear. Only fear can make you turn back to slavery. Notice that when the people are afraid, what they do is complain to Moses. Was it not because there weren't enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to the wilderness to die? I love that. You want to get used to seeing this phrase, "and the people complained," because it's going to come up a lot on this journey. So right from the beginning of the journey, let us be all clear that the reason that people complain is always, always because they're afraid. This is one of the reasons why Washington, D.C. exists. Because the nation easily gets afraid and they look for a place to complain. It used to be that we complained about things like war and poverty. Now, we complain every time the Dow drops a few points. We get so frightened. Call our elected representatives and we say, what are you doing? Was it not because there weren't enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out into? What are you doing? Do something to make the fear go away. That's what they really want to say. When you find yourself in leadership of an office or a classroom or the nation, or hardest of all, a family, and you start to get a whole lot of complaining, don't rush to service all that whining, because it's a black hole and you are never going to fill it up. See complaint for what it truly is: fear. More fear than you have the capacity to calm down. You're just Moses. And like him, you probably didn't even want this job to begin with. Notice that Moses doesn't try to manage the people's fears. He doesn't say, okay, let's get a little task force set up, we'll talk to Pharaoh, we'll get a few compromises going here, something we can all live with, you give a little, we'll give a little. No! What Moses says is, do not be afraid, stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. That's the mark of leadership. Leaders are people who can help others see something that is bigger than their fears. Great, inspiring visions that lift people's eyes above their fears. Because all that the people could see at this point was Pharaoh and his chariots. What Moses did was to draw their attention away from that by lifting their eyes up to see the coming deliverance of God. That's leadership. Leadership that the church offers to you is to also draw your eyes away from the things that would make you afraid and to help you see how the Lord has already been delivering your life. We do that by reminding you who you are, by constantly pointing to the sacrament of baptism, for example. Baptism proclaims that, like the Hebrews, you too have passed through the waters. You too have begun this great journey with God. You too are on the way. Jesus Christ will not settle for anything less. He calls you to just keep coming with him on the way to the promised land. And on the journey, you may get tired. You may have your doubts that you can ever pull this thing off of following Jesus in your workplace or your home. You may at times wish that Jesus had just left you alone so that you could stay in slavery. But Jesus won't leave you alone. And out in the desert, he'll show you how to keep your freedom. Maybe today you're standing exactly where the Hebrews are standing at this point of the journey. Behind you is the opportunity to return to the old slavery, to the loneliness that you've grown accustomed to, when in your soul you've always yearned for community, or to the income that you've settled for when you've yearned for adventure, or to the pain that you thought would have to always be there, when you yearned, oh, you just yearned for healing. You've known that life for a long, long time now. But it isn't really life, is it? It's actually been sucking the life out of you. Ahead of you stand the parted waters, inviting you out into an unknown future with God. I'd love to tell you that you've got a choice about which way you're going to go, but actually you don't have a choice. Not if you want to really live. It's time to start walking ahead. Let us pray. Oh God, do what we are too afraid to do for ourselves. Pull us into freedom. Bring us to places where we have no choice but to walk with you, so that we too might discover the joy of being fully alive. Amen.